the pulpit earlier. Did you almost start? And so it wasn't. That was good. You could tell it was a fake one. You could tell it was a fake one. That's good. That's good. Exodus chapter 4, we're journeying through God's rescue of the Israelites. After 400 years of bondage, they had been in Egypt for 430 years, 400 of those under oppression and under slavery. And it was rough, but God heard their cry. He talks to Moses last week, and you'll see the title of my message, God Overcomes More Excuses. And so Moses is loaded with excuses, and so we are just like Moses. And it'll be really interesting tonight. God gets angry with Moses two times. And it'll be interesting to see what God does not get angry about and what he does get angry about. So we'll see all that. But I want to show you a verse that I really didn't talk about last week. And that is Exodus chapter 3, verse 22. And I just want to just give some commentary to that, because I've heard a lot of different thoughts. And so I'm going to give you my thought. And if you disagree with me, don't tell me. Tell your neighbor. Just kidding. But Exodus chapter 3, verse 22. This is God. Look at verse 21, where he says, when they leave, and he says, and I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. So when the Israelites depart Egypt, the Egyptians are going to be so thrilled, and he says, I will give them favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when you go, ye shall not go empty, but every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and you shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and you shall spoil the Egyptians. Now, this word that's used here, it's generally translated ask. And so in the Arabic Bible, it says ask. But I like the word borrow, which is translated numerous times with that as well. So I want you to, if we had Sunday school, we could open it up for discussion. It's, but every woman shall borrow of her neighbor. And here's my simple thought, not too deep, but it involves riches. They'll borrow of her neighbor, of her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver, and jewels of gold, and raiment, and you shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and you shall spoil the Egyptians. They didn't have to come back and pay the Egyptians back. Who were they borrowing from? God. You don't own anything. You don't. Everything you have that you think you own, you're borrowing it. You will not take it with you. You're borrowing it. And I love that. I love that word. It's just thought-provoking. And it's that they would borrow, because when you're dealing with riches, don't get so attached to your riches, because they're not yours anyway. I love the term, and I just wanted to highlight that. Remember this, but before we get into this, in fact, I'll talk. Let's just read Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. It's 2.5 columns, but it's a great narrative, true account. But Exodus chapter 4, verse 1. And Moses, God and Moses are still having this interaction. Just, you know, it was the translator's judgment to cut this off because maybe it'd been too long a chapter. I'm not sure. But this is Moses and God still talking, because God's saying, Moses, look back to Exodus chapter 3, verse 10. He says, come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses' first excuse is, who am I? Who am I? God never answered that, because it doesn't matter who you are. It matters who he is. And he can use anything, right? In case I forget this, you know, tonight we're going to see that he has a rod in his hand. That rod, it didn't have to be a rod. If he would have had, you know, a wristwatch in his hand, he'd say, throw the wristwatch down. It'd become a snake. God didn't need a rod. He uses what we have. You understand that? We don't have to be loaded. We don't have to have great talent. We need the Lord. We need the power of the Lord. And who am I? Well, you're nobody. But God's everything, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Exodus chapter 4, verse 1. And Moses continues, answered, and said, but behold, talking to the Lord, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. Now let me just help you with this. I think this was a big serpent. Remember later, when he does this in front of Pharaoh, Pharaoh's magicians turned their rods into snakes, and Moses' ate them. I don't know whether that means he had a bigger serpent, but it was less like, whoosh. Moses, a serpent, ate the magicians up. So it would have terrified me too. I hate snakes, right? And so verse 3, and he said, cast it on the ground, and he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled before it. Verse 4. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. Verse 6. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. One of the worst things that you could be eaten up with was leprosy. There was no cure at this time. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and he plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it came to pass, and it shall come to pass, that they will not believe thee, neither hearken to thy, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. Verse 9, and it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. Verse 10, and Moses said unto the Lord, perfect. No. Moses said unto the Lord, oh, my Lord, not using his name in vain, addressing God, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, neither since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of slow tongue. There's some indication here, some believe, that he was saying, you know, my Egyptian's not that awesome. I've only been talking to sheep for a while here, and I won't, you know, be able to speak Hebrew and then Egyptian, and, you know, I'm just not with it. But regardless, he said, I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, verse 11, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, oh, my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. We'll talk about that. Verse 14. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. We'll talk about what was it that was the trigger. God doesn't lose his cool. I'm not suggesting that. But God is always righteous in his anger. You've heard me say this a million times. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. That's in James 1. I don't think we ever are righteous in our anger. The Bible never talks about righteous indignation. It doesn't. Jesus was righteous in his anger. He's God. There's things God can do that we can't. So when God gets angry, it's fully justified. It's perfect timing. It's absolutely right. Verse 14, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. Been 40 years. And thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people. And he shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth. And thou shalt be to him instead of God. So God's not going to speak to Aaron. So God's going to speak to Moses, and then Moses is going to tell Aaron, this is what God said. Verse 17, that's all that means. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. And it's the same rod that Moses held out to the Red Sea that parted the Red Sea. I could see, this is just a comment since I've taken a break. You know, in Moses' house, he goes, don't drop the rod. Whatever you do. Clutching that rod, right? Okay, bad. You guys didn't appreciate that as much as I did telling it. Verse 17, and thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. Verse 18, and Moses went and returned to Jethro his father-in-law, and said unto him, let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said to Moses, go in peace. And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, go return into Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. And Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. And the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, See that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand, but I will harden his heart, that he shall not let them let the people go. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. Verse 24. And it came to pass by the way in the inn that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. The Lord met Moses and sought to kill him. Very interesting. Verse 25. Then Zipporah, his wife, took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet, at Moses' feet, and said, surely a bloody husband art thou to me. So he, God, let him go. Then she said, a bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision. We'll talk about that. Verse 27. And the Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went and met him in the mount of God and kissed him. What a reunion. And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him and all the signs which he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron, not Moses, spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshiped. What a great response, a godly response. They bowed their heads and worshiped. God overcomes more excuses. You have to love the Lord. I don't know. We should love the Lord because God overcomes us. And, you know, there's the old song, excuses, excuses, you hear them every day, you know, da 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 da. I don't know what the song is, but we have a million excuses. I want to tell you this, when God commands us to do something, he will equip us, period, over and out. I'm just telling you, I want to just show you what he says here. Look at verse 12. He tells Moses, now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And God's going to teach him. It's going to be a process of learning. God will show him what to say, but he's going to teach him what to say. And so I want you to understand this. I told somebody this the other day. I have no idea who I talk to half the time. I talk to so many different people. And it's like this. If you want Christianity where you're not going to get chewed up and spit out and look foolish, then don't do anything. Best thing is get it over with. Just go out and serve the Lord. Try to do your best. I'm not asking for irresponsible, unplanned. But I'll tell you, you go with what you know, and then you keep learning. You're going to get chewed up and spit out so many times. You're going to blow it, but God's bigger than you. I've heard this before. Well, you know, I don't want to do that because I'll hurt people. Well, what a pathetic God. He's bigger than you. All you need to do is do what he says, and sometimes you're going to be terrible. God's bigger than you. We don't want to be terrible. But I will tell you, the hope for the world is not on my performance. It's not on how I deliver the gospel. It's that I just obey. That's it. But see, no excuses. No excuses. Just obey. Just do what he says, and you've got a million excuses, and so does Moses. We have a lot of Moseses in here. No amens. And what I do love, God didn't get upset, didn't get angry when Moses gave him excuses. Did you notice that? He knows. I'll say this, you know, just be so glad I'm not God. He knows how pathetic we are. He didn't get angry with Moses' excuses, but what did he get angry for? And I'll touch this later, but I'll tell you this. When Moses said, not me, I don't want to do it. Because God addressed all his excuses. And when Moses said in verse 13, he said, oh my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. I'm going to talk about some interesting thoughts about that. But basically he's saying this in its simplicity, but I think there's some depth. In its simplicity, he's like, send somebody else, not me. No. Understand this, how patient God was with Moses when Moses was giving him all these excuses. And when Moses said, send somebody else, I want you to be clear. God didn't need Moses. He delighted in using Moses, and he was going to use Moses, but Moses did something later in verses 24 to 27 that God was going to kill him. I don't think that's hyperbole or exaggeration or just something to get your attention. I think if Moses, and they hadn't circumcised their son, Moses would have been, you know, whatever, he'd been dead, okay? Moses would have been dead. God's not just saying that, and it was Moses was not, Moses was going to put family ahead of what God had instructed the Israelites to do. And if you're going to go lead 3 million people, you better do what I've told you to do, because the impact would be detrimental. It's why, you know, I tell you this, I have no more authority than anybody in this church. I have greater influence maybe than anybody in this church, and I will justly be held accountable for it. And I will tell you, the Lord feels the same way. If I want to make God angry, it's that I don't do what he said and I rebel against him, because I will infect a bunch of God's people, and he's not happy about that. And you know, what I have to do is, I have to realize this, and I, you know, you can imagine the crazy gymnastics I go through in my mind. The only thing that's going to help me consistently walk with God is love for Christ. It can't be consequences. You know, eventually I'm like, I'm willing. I mean, you know, you can't imagine sometimes when I'm driving long distance, I'm like, I'm willing to pay the fine. Okay, not really good. The Bible says obey all the laws of the land. And so, but it's love for Christ. But let's look at the first excuse number two, since excuse number one was who am I. Verse one, look at this. Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Now, God addresses that last statement, but what is Moses calling God? A liar. I want you to look back at verse 18 of chapter 3. Chapter 3. This is like, I don't know, however fast I can read from verse 18 to 22, then Moses responds. Is that 30 seconds? Probably not. God told him within 30 seconds of his response in verse 1, he goes, no, God, they won't listen to me. The apostles did the same thing, so here's where I'm at. When do we do that? Do you know we tell God that he doesn't know what he's talking about? These guys did it directly. The apostles did it directly. They're like, Lord, this will not be unto you. And it's like, who are you? He doesn't have that attitude. Okay, I misrepresent God so many times. Look at verse 18. God says, and they shall hearken to thy voice. And then Moses says the opposite. Look at verse 1 again. But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. You're wrong, God. You know what sin is a declaration of? We don't believe God. We don't take him serious. Look, I'm looking in the mirror, and I need to be prepared. I need to respond with the Spirit of Christ. And he says, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. You've got to love the Lord. God lets Moses speak, and then he addresses this last thing. And they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto me. The second thing I want you to see is God gives Moses evidence and substance. God does that all the time. Hebrews 11:1, you guys are familiar with this. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Listen to that again. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Folks, this is super important. I've mentioned this a number of times, so it's not necessarily new. Faith is not blind faith that, you know, you're wishing upon a star and you hope that might happen one day. Faith has evidence. I believe the Bible. And in 2025, believing the Bible isn't the greatest faith in the world, because the Bible's been found to be the greatest historical document known to man of the ancient times. And it's been proven by archaeology over and over and over and over again. And so Yes, it takes faith that I believe, because God claims it, that there's not one error. He's preserved his word perfectly in the Hebrew and Greek. And so fine, maybe that takes a little faith. But I'll tell you, to believe the Bible doesn't take much faith. It's been so maligned and so attacked and so abused, it doesn't take that, because there is evidence and there is substance. You should believe the Bible. And the rhetoric today is that the Bible is worthless, written by men, and you can't count on it. Let me tell you, you can't count on anything else but the Bible. Peter said, what was better than what we saw was the Word of God. Because sometimes these old eyes don't see correctly. Sometimes these old ears don't see correctly. It's going to be a sad day when Deb and I really get old. Because, I mean, you know, you think, you come and we're yelling at each other like, what? You know, I mean, it's like, I just wish, could you just learn, right? Can you just learn? Right, so this diet, right, I have to go number one a lot with this stupid diet, right? It's like every time I go in there, Deb decides to talk, and I'm like, you know, I can't hear you. And a million, and so we can't hear each other. It's like, what? I mean, if God helps me to be 80, I'll tell you what, you guys need to come and, I don't know, referee. It's like, what? It is the evidence and substance. Why did I even get off on that? I don't know. I was going somewhere, but I lost it. Just let me tell you, he gives Moses three things. The rod becomes a serpent. The rod becomes a serpent. I love this. It's just, listen to some of the things I was just reading. And the rod of Moses would part the Red Sea. It would strike the rock and see water pour forth. It'd be raised over battle until Israel won. And it would be called, do you know it's called in Exodus chapter 17 and in this chapter, look at verse 20, Moses took what? The rod of God. The rod of God. Moses took the rod of God. And so it was used greatly. He gave Moses this rod. It would become a serpent and would be a demonstration. And it would come back to be restored. Secondly, he gave the leprous hand, verses 6 through 8. Moses would stick his hand into his bosom and remove it, and it'd be leprosy. And here's what's interesting. I was reading this, and I've just got to research this more. One commentator said that the Hebrew word for leprosy covered a number of assorted diseases, much like our word, cancer. Interesting. Do you not see leprosy mentioned over and over in the Bible? And I know it's typically talking about the leprosy that just makes your limbs fall off and you lose your feeling and all of that, and it's just detrimental. Leprosy still exists today. There's pharmaceuticals that can cure you of it, but it still exists in some third world countries. But leprosy, many times in ages past, was broader than just the white, yellow disease that made your body rot. And then finally, the water to blood. The water to blood. And many believe, I don't know, that it's a sign of judgment. See, the leprous hand was restored. And it's, you know, if you think of the message, it's you know, you can be just full of sin, full of leprosy, and you can be restored. You can be made whole. But the water to blood, many believe that is judgment. Now, the third excuse that Moses gives is, I am not eloquent. Look, if you will, at verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O Lord my God, O Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. When he said neither heretofore, neither before. Now, you know that disagrees with Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7 says this about Moses. It says, and Moses was learned, this is part of Stephen's message, and Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds. Moses was eloquent. Moses could speak. And so he hadn't been on the speaking circuit for some time, but 40 years. But Moses could speak. And look at God's response. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? God says, go, teach. And yes, you need to be discipled. You need to learn how to teach. But I'm telling you, I tell people this all the time. What Bible school did the woman at the well go to before she started declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ? None. None. She had a whole bunch to learn, didn't she? But what she told people, come see a man that told me all that I ever did. And she told them what she knew. If you've been saved, You should be able to tell people what that means. If you can't, I wonder if you've been saved. You following me? I mean, if you've truly been born again, and just remember this, when God says, I will be with you, you know, look at this in verse 12. Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. Right? Look at verse 12 of chapter 3. Look at verse 12 when Moses says, who am I? Chapter 3, verse 12, certainly I will be with you. Remember this. You don't have to be eloquent. You don't have to be powerful. You are who God created. You need, and I've talked about this, there's a balance. You need to be thankful for who God created. Now, the world abuses that. You understand this? And what they'll do is they'll say, well, they'll take an extreme and they'll say, well, God made me a homosexual. And the Bible says it's against natural affection. And here's what I tell people regardless. You know, people say, I was born a homosexual. And I'll say, I was born a fornicator. What's it have to do with anything? I said, does that mean fornication's okay? No, we must flee sin, and the Bible's clear about sin. But here's what I'm talking about. You know this? God made Blair. I want you to be thankful for who God made, for the personality he gave you, for the eyesight he gave you, right? Don't be like, oh man, I have to wear glasses, right? I mean, because I used to hate my personality. I've told you this most of my life, right? I mean, I get in trouble more than anybody with the old, right here, you know? I mean, I'll tell you this, if you guys ever hear, man, Steve was in a car wreck and the only thing that happened, his tongue was ripped out. That is God being merciful to me. And I used to, because I've told people this, I told my son this, so dumb. I said, Josh, I said, more people will like you than like me. But I said, I'll get 10 times more done than you ever could. Who cares? You know, I ought to use this tongue for God's glory. Here's where God's finally, I've told you this a million times. God gave me my personality. I love it. In fact, I have the best personality in this room. It's not a competition. I'm so thankful for my personality. But you know this, Isabella, my personality gets me in trouble a lot. Wouldn't you agree? You better not. You'd be in the second row. But it does. When my personality gets me in trouble, it's God's fault, isn't it? No, it's my lack of submitting my personality to him. Do you understand this? And so I need to enjoy who God made, right? God didn't give you guys my personality. And most of you are like, praise the Lord, right? And so, you know, I always used to, all my life, I'd envy quiet people. And I'm like, you're sinning just as much as me, you rotten snake. And you know, but I want you to understand this. Be thankful. God made your eyes, your nose, your mouth, and he's commanded us without distinction to go. Go and teach. And he will equip you. And you know what you need to do? You just need to go. You just need to obey God. You need to believe him. And absolutely, you want help? We'll teach you. We'll help you. All right? Got to listen. We'll help you. But you need to go while you're learning. And trust the Lord. Look at what he says. He says this. Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Remember John 9? Lord, who sinned, this man or his parents? He said, neither, but this man was born blind a long time because he was of age, which would have indicated he's over 30. Over 30 years, the man was born blind for the glory of God. God's allowed to do that. We have to trust the Lord. You know, if I lose my sight one day, that would be a horrible thing. But you know what I need to do? I need to trust the Lord because he's the one that gave me my sight. And you know this, it's only temporary. I'm going to get new eyes, a new body. And so it's easier said than done, yes. But I want you to understand this, that it doesn't matter about your talent. It matters what God's told us to do. If we do it, he will use us. He will. Let's just be obedient. Now, I want you to look at verse 13. This is an original thought with me, but I think Moses was saying, not me, I don't want to go, to be clear. Verse 13. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. I read this and I thought it was very interesting. Some believe that he was saying this, Lord, send the Messiah, the promised one, that he can do the work. It's not super clear, but it's interesting. Oh, my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. Lord, not me. How about the one that we've been preaching about? How about the one that our faith is in? I want you to understand this. Don't forget, Moses was a saved man, and the only way Moses was saved by faith in Christ, in his substitution, his sacrifice, his death, and his resurrection. That's the only way anybody's ever been saved. Period. Understand that. And so we had this Sunday. It was just a great conversation. I love the conversation, right? So it went further than I've ever gone with Nathaniel, right? I don't know if I've ever worried about Nathaniel, whether he was saved or not, right? But what Nathaniel got to do is Nathaniel got to put his faith to sight and say, oh, that's the one. And it didn't take much. It didn't take much because his faith was already in the Messiah. And now he's like, that's him. Right, so was Moses asking for that? Look at verse 14. That's when the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And so that might make you think he wasn't asking for the Messiah, but I think it could also because the Messiah came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to do a spiritual rescue first, not a national rescue. And so, but the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well, and also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. How many say Aaron was a blessing to Moses? Maybe, okay, sometimes it would probably be a good answer, but I'm saying this. You know what? God's plan was better. Remember what Aaron did when Moses was on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments? He was the spiritual leader of what is going to be a difficult chapter to preach. And it was stuff was going on at the bottom of the mountain that is unspeakable with lost people. Remember in 1 Corinthians 5, Paul said, this man is doing things that even the Gentiles don't do. What was happening at the bottom of Mount Sinai was things that were just despicable that, generally speaking, the world didn't do. And Aaron was the leader of that. Aaron was a problem child for Moses, but here's the key. Aaron was a smooth talker. I think he was. God said, look what he says. He says, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. So I want you to know this. It's not about how well you speak. It's your heart. Remember that. You compare yourself to others. You compare yourself and say, I'm not that. God's not worried about that. He is wanting your heart. That's why he wanted Moses. Moses had some humility, but he took the humility too far, and Moses got to the point, but he ultimately obeys. I love that. Moses got to the point that said, basically, I can't. You've messed up, Lord. It can't. You've come to the wrong address. God doesn't go to the wrong address. I'm telling you, I want you to understand this. You're going to flop sometimes. You are. You know how many times I flopped? I have flopped so much. You guys can't flop as much as I have. I worry about this. I wept over it. I was telling a story recently that I feel like I've damned people to hell because of my meanness. It's terrible. It's wrong. It bothers me to this day. And, you know, I could take this attitude. Well, I'm not going to talk to anybody else because maybe I'll just blow it. No. I just need to get right with God. I need to stop blowing it. I need to have the Spirit of Christ. I need to get on my knees. I need to seek the Lord's face and realize this, it's not about me. And you don't have to be a great speaker. You just have to be obedient. Do what God's told you to do. And I'll tell you, That's why the first shall be last and the last shall be first. It's not going to be the preachers. It's going to be the people that nobody knows about, that all they did was they said, I'm going to obey God. Remember the widow and her mite? That didn't do nothing for the kingdom of God. But oh, it pleased the one that matters. And God said, she has given all that she hath. She honored and pleased the Lord. And she was a faithful woman to the Lord. I think we're going to hear more of her. You think it was only financially that she gave, you know, her last mite? You think that? No, I tell you this. When she could do that because she said, where your treasure is, there's your heart also. God had her heart. I think that little widow was unimpressive to everybody else. And then she was a joke, you know, when they ding, 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 they heard a little mite go in. But it's like this. God said, that's my kind of woman. Unimpressive, just obedient. Just obedient. Aaron was going to be trouble. Going to be trouble for Moses. But, you know, God still works things out. And you know, I tell you this. God used it because Moses would have showed up after 40 years. And when Aaron spoke to them, they knew Aaron. And God used it to help. So God allowed it. But I want to tell you, his plan was, Moses, you do it. And God's so wonderful that we can trust him. I want you to see more of God's plan as revealed. Look at verses 18 to 23. And Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said unto him, let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said to Moses, go in peace. Anybody think it was wrong for him to go to Jethro? And here's what he says. He says, let me go, I pray thee. He begs him, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. Anybody think he was wrong for asking Jethro that? I don't either. But part of me says, what if Jethro would have said, no? I think this. I don't think we have to go into a conversation and go, hey, Jethro, God spoke to me and I'm going to take your daughter and grandkids to Egypt. Whether you approve of it or not, you okay with that? There's many ways to deal with it, right? You know what he did? He went in respectfully and he wanted the blessing and he wanted the approval of Jethro, his father-in-law, and his father-in-law appears that he was in touch with God's will, and he said, go in peace. So I don't think there was anything wrong with that. I do believe this. If Jethro had said no, Moses would have had to say, Jethro, I need to tell you the rest of the story. It's not an option. God's told me to do this. Can we pray about it and try to still work things out, still make things with harmony? But I tell you this, you don't have to go in and just tell everybody, if you don't do this, I'm going to... No, just go and say, hey, what do you think? He says, let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren which are in Egypt. Verse 19, and the Lord said unto Moses, now this is just goodness of God, look at this. And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, God hadn't told Moses this yet. And I love this. God had dealt with all of Moses' excuses, and Moses said, I'll go. Got Aaron now. I'll meet Aaron sometime soon. But then God gives him more encouragement. Go, return into Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. It's what God wanted. He wanted Moses to trust him in even whether those guys are alive or not. And then he told Moses, hey, good news. I've taken care of those scallywags. And that's what God does all the time. We fear things that aren't going to happen many times. And then God will clear it up and say, they're gone. It's all good, Moses. God did the same thing for Joseph. Said, now you can go back, Joseph. He went into Egypt. And look in verse 20, and Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. Verse 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, he gives him some insight. This is very fascinating. Watch this. When thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh. which I have put in thine hand, but I will harden his heart, and he shall not let the people go. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn, and I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. Moses' eyes had to be pretty wide. This is like, what? And so I addressed it a little bit last week. I'll talk a little bit again when it says, but I will harden his heart. Now, I want you to understand this. Yes, do I believe God hardened his heart? I'm not going to excuse it. Yes. Do I believe Pharaoh hardened his heart? Yes. Do I believe God hardened Pharaoh's heart? Yes, but this is the key. God never hardens anybody's heart or leads them to sin. That is not what that's saying. I read something where somebody said, God never forces man against his will. Oh, yes, he does. You ain't doing that. You know, we've seen prophets that, you know, where the guys are like, and their arms froze. Look, God's allowed to stop you. Yes? He's allowed. And so when I read that, I thought, well, that's ridiculous. God will never do anything against man. I tell him, oh God, thy will be done, not my will. Stop me. How many of you ever had the robot conversation with God? God, I'd prefer to be a robot. I just want to obey. You know, oh God, kill me. I'm tired of sin. But it's this. So God hardened Pharaoh's heart, but it never led Pharaoh to sin. We looked at Romans 9:17 last week, that the purpose of all of these wonders in Israel was that the world would know that there is one God and that God would be glorified. It was actually merciful. What Pharaoh did, what God did by hardening Pharaoh's heart, he allowed Pharaoh to be part of a process that the world would know who the true God was, the God of Israel, unlike any of the false gods. And Pharaoh was used in that purpose. To be clear, when we harden our hearts, I talked this last week, it always results in sin. God hardens Pharaoh's heart and said, not doing it. God's allowed to do that. Don't you want him to stop you from being foolish? I do. He doesn't do that a lot. But he does, I don't know, maybe he does a lot, I don't know. But he lets us make foolish decisions. But he hardened his heart because he said, no, not now. You're not doing that. And he never hardened him. God never tempts a man. God never leads a man into sin. And whatever you think, whatever your thoughts are about God hardening Pharaoh's heart, and I've heard all kinds of things, right? That, well, you know, God hardened the heart that Pharaoh had already hardened. But God hardened his heart. You know, Todd and I were talking beforehand, and I read this thing, and Todd mentioned it. He said, well, I've read this, and it was good. He said, what it was, and I'm like, oh, yeah, whatever. And Todd was saying, he's just saying he read this. What it was is that God removed his mercy from Pharaoh, and so that resulted in Pharaoh's heart being hardened. I was like, well, I would probably be removed his grace if we got into that discussion. But it says, no, you know what I did? God hardened his heart and said, Pharaoh, you're not doing that. You're not doing that. And it'll result in my glory and my honor. But he tells Moses, and I don't know when Moses said this, but it appears that Moses would tell him that early on. Look at this in verse, he's going to do all the wonders in verse 21. And he said, thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. You won't find these words later, but he says this, and he says, I say unto thee, let my son go that he may serve me, and if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. He warned Pharaoh, what I believe to be early on, he warned Pharaoh. And so now let's look at verse 24 to 27, God's anger appeased. Such a fascinating passage. Most people that they aren't aware of this. And it came to pass by the way in the inn that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone, and that's not something of cruelty. A sharp stone would be something that would be sort of like a knife that was filed down and would be a sharp stone where you could actually do the procedure of circumcision, not cruelly. So it's not like, you know, hey, I had this sharp stone. You know, it was made for that. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, surely a bloody husband art thou to me. So he let him go. God let Moses go. I don't know what that means. You know, I mean, I don't know. Zipporah seemed to get it. Now let me tell you. I'm super careful here. Do you know how difficult it is to... You know how difficult it is to get a woman to admit that, or to get a woman to do something she doesn't want to do? If you don't understand that, you're not married. Now, I love my woman. She's very good. And so, you know, it's just good. So I'm going to get in so much trouble. You got chauvinist. No. But if the Bible says he let Moses go. Did Zipporah see something, you know, I don't know whether, you know, Moses is against the wall. Zipporah! Cut the boy. You know? Here's what I think happened. God told Moses, he said, hey, you need to get this right. And Moses delayed. Moses didn't do it. Moses was going to ladies, all right, thank you. Moses was going to submit to family pressure. You understand? He was going to honor the wishes of his wife above God. I told you Abby's ex-boyfriend, the last time we met, he told me, he said, he never told me this ever before when we met. He said, you don't understand. He said, if I believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven and my faith is in him alone and I reject all the other gods and my faith and I believe that he's the only true God, he goes, my family will disown me. There are people in every religion, whether it's Hindus, Muslims, Catholics, and they use that logic. And they'll say, if I believe what you're saying, that means that my family that has gone on, they're all in hell. And I said, what you do or don't believe doesn't change what is reality for them in eternity. I looked at him and I said, is it worth it to be damned just to satisfy your family's pressure? And I said, you've concluded today it is. But in eternity, you will not. I told him, I said, you don't know your family will disown you. I said, they may very well. But I said, you just need to trust in Christ and he may surprise you and your family may not disown you. I can't tell you what's going to happen. It may very well happen. They may hate your guts. And so Moses was going to honor the pressure of his wife. Now, I want you to understand, circumcision was criticized for 3,000 years until 1950, the 50s, 1950s. You understand that? I've told you this. I'd love to tell it again, right? It's number one killer of women used to be cervical cancer. You still hear about it some, but not nearly. I mean, it was number one. Then it went to breast cancer, and then now it's heart disease. Number one killer of women used to be cervical cancer. Well, what happened was the world mocked the Jews. Now, in the Middle East, some Muslims would carry out the act of circumcision because there are some descendants of Abraham, right? Keturah and others, right? Ishmael, that would carry that on, right? So it's not unusual, right? So it would have existed there, but it was the Jews that were being maligned and attacked, right? So what would happen during physical relations is that those extra folds of skin would hold dirt and they would go against the cervix of the woman and they would stay against her cervix and they would turn into cancer, number one killer. A doctor, he was analyzing all these women and he was separating the women that didn't have cervical cancer versus the women that did. And you know what he found? There was one trait among the women dominant that didn't have cervical cancer. They were Jewish. And he said, well, what's different about the Jews? I don't think he even had to ask the question. That's why you have to tell the hospital today, do not circumcise my son, because it's considered basic hygiene today for the health and the protection of women. You understand that? But the world, and including Zipporah, said it's a butcherous act. you, thou art a blood. And here's what the Bible says. I mean, this is kind of a rough situation. She cut off the foreskin and cast it at his feet and said, surely a bloody husband art thou to me. And God let him go. Then she said, a bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision. You don't hear any more about Zipporah. What I love about Moses, serve the Lord, whether your spouse supports it or not. Be kind about it, but do what God says. Do what God says. And there was great tension. Is that? I mean, that's a rough situation, verse 24 to 26. Moses is alive today because they obeyed God. God was going to kill him because he said, you will not lead these people and not do one of the basic things I've told you to do. And if you don't, I can use somebody else. I don't think it was hyperbole. I think God was serious about that. Then let's see Moses and Aaron, and I'll be done shortly. Moses and Aaron. Look at this in verse 27 to 29. The Lord said unto Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went and met him in the mount of God and kissed him. And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him and all the signs which he had commanded him. And so, great reunion. I've already talked about Aaron. Aaron wasn't all that. He was a great speaker, apparently eloquent as Moses wanted, but he wasn't Moses. Moses was a man that loved the Lord, flawed, just like all of us. And then I want you to look at Moses and the elders. And look at this. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words. So Aaron did the speaking here. It's interesting. Aaron speaks to the Jews. It looks like Moses does all the speaking to Pharaoh. And so I will re-examine that as we go through Exodus, right? So, but Aaron here is the one that speaks. And it says, and Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken to Moses and did the signs in the sight of the people. I think Moses would have executed those signs in front of the people. And the people believed, just as God said. Just as God said. They did all three signs. If they don't believe the first one, they'll believe the second one. If they don't believe the second one, they'll believe the third one. And God said, that'll take care of it. And the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshiped. Chapter 4, easy to worship God. Somebody comes up to you and says, I got a new car for you. Praise the Lord. So good. God is good. They didn't know chapter 5 was coming. I want you to understand this. God was preparing his people for a great and mighty exit, and he wanted them to look to him and him alone. And Moses, next week you'll see, is bewildered. Moses, at the end of chapter 5, he goes, breaker, what in the world did you send me here for if this was going to happen? Next week is a mess from human eyes. It's exactly according to the plan of God. I want you to understand this. I believe God's going to bless. I believe God's blessing. But you know this? Sometimes it's going to be through hardship. Sometimes it's going to be through tears. Sometimes it's going to be through struggle. Sometimes it's going to be through stuff I don't want. And you know what I need to do? I need to trust the Lord. And remember this. He said he's going to do this. And I know he will. God never lies. We can trust him. Remember the message tonight, and I'm done. Stop the excuses. But the worst place to be is when we say, I will not. You wrestle with God. Talk to him about how you can't. And then you'll realize he's telling you you can. You want God to be angry, telling you won't. Talk to the Lord about your excuses. Talk to the Lord about your frailty. He knows you. He loves you. He made your mouth. He gave you your mind. I've said this. Christianity has nothing to do with intelligence. It has everything to do with just obedience and faithfulness. You know this? Some of the dumbest people in the world are the most faithful, and they will be the most rewarded Christians ever. Because God doesn't ask you to be anything that he didn't make. He just says, be faithful with how I made you, and know what I've said, obey what I've said, and I will use you. It's amazing. It's amazing. If we understand this simple thing, I think we can turn Fairfield upside down. I do. And I believe it with all my heart. I don't know if I can. I think what might happen is, because I don't think I could handle it, right? It'd be like, I'd be so excited, I'd probably sin something. I just want Fairfield to be turned upside down. I just want to be here. I want to be part of it. I want people to be excited about Jesus Christ, people being saved, and it be real. Quentin, you encourage me. I want to help you, okay? One, God will never give up on you, okay? Don't you ever let me give up on you, okay? All right. You helped me. You've encouraged me. And let's keep just pursuing Christ one day at a time. And who knows what God might do. Let's pray. Father,